And this chapter is apologetics as proof. So that's similar to chapter five. But here he wants to prove the gospel. So that's what he's going to spend some time looking at this week. And he says, proving the truth of a historical narrative, such as the gospel as presented in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, is rather different from proving the truth of a general worldview. He says, in the latter case, we can deal with common features of our experiences, its values, truth, cause, and purpose, and those types of things. But in the former, right, with regard to a historical narrative, we are pretty much restricted, he tells us, to evidence related to a historical period in the distant past. And so the primary sources, he says, are really the scriptures themselves. And so this is going to be kind of like a defense of the scriptures, because the scriptures are, as he says here, the primary sources of the gospel. And so he has to jump in and try to give us a good defense of why scripture is credible and trustworthy. And so we're going to spend our time working through issues with regard to the trustworthiness of scripture.
Right. Right. And this chapter is going to look probably a little bit different than what you expect. I think he has a few pet projects that he responds to in here as well. I think he's writing to get off his chest a little bit. So we'll see that as we go through. So he says, while the existence of and many attributes of God are clearly perceived in creation, as according to Romans 1, the gospel message is not visible in the world as such. So there you have a need for special revelation. So creation is kind of that general revelation, the thing that we can attribute to God that all men see, that all men perceive. John Calvin calls it the sensus divinitas. You know God exists by experiencing the world and knowing that it's not just some thing that just popped into existence 5 minutes ago, and it's not just something that evolved over all these minuscule amounts of chances to get you to the amino acid from your to where you're at today. You know, the frog turning into a prince over billions of years is a lot harder to swallow than the magic one.
Yeah, so this is kind of the distinction here between general revelation, which is what you're talking about, and special revelation, which is what scripture gives us. Right. So that's the distinction, I think, is what he's trying to get at.
So general gives us, nature gives us the is the general preacher, and here for the gospel, a preacher is needed to communicate the gospel, as according to Romans 10. So our main task is to isolate the Bible's own argument for the truth of the gospel message, and the reader here may profitably review the exposition in chapter 2 of the biblical good news. To summarize, scripture tells us that creation in God's image, our fall through Adam into sin, and God's free gift is of his only son to die an atoning death for our sins and to raise us up with him in newness of life. That's the gospel message. That's the good news.
Yeah, there you go. So you don't necessarily have to go to chapter 2. He gives you a brief summary of it there in this introductory remark.